Heavenly Father, we didn't really come to hear any human being this morning, because no words of any human being can touch the deepest needs of our soul. We need more than information. We need transformation. And no human hand can get to where we really hurt. And even if it could, what could it do? But your voice calls the dead to life and calls into being that which did not exist. We ask you to be with us today, to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to live for you with all of our hearts this week. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have a birthday this year? So you have a broken arm. I know all of you have a birthday this year. How many of you like presents? Okay, very good. Now that's a question you never would have gotten wrong when you were little. Sometimes we outgrow those things, but in our heart, we all love presents. Now, I searched in vain for a real bow, so I had to decorate it with whatever I could find, which happened to be four colored balloons. But I brought a present today. The message of the sermon is, every good gift. Every good gift. Aren't you glad I didn't bring a 1040 form up here for your income taxes or a flat tire or something like that, but a gift. Let's look at Psalm 103. And I promise for any child who's here, or for any child at heart, before the sermon is open, I will open the box. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Verse 2. Verse 3, he begins to list them. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. This is almost like an alarm clock going off. It's obvious that he wouldn't be talking to himself this way if he were already doing what he's telling his soul to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Wake up. Get up. Get excited. Look at what God has done for you. Bless His name. Bless His name. And he goes through a whole list of them. I want to talk about gifts today. Presents. The first thing I want to talk about is the presence of gifts in our lives. That there are many, many gifts that God has given us. What has God given you? I was in a church service about a month ago. And the first thing the minister had everybody do was take a piece of paper and write down on it the value of everything you have on your person right now. Well, that took us a little while, you know, and everybody was saying, well, how much is a pair of socks worth? And do you mean new or used? And let's see this ring and these glasses. And it took everybody kind of a while, you know. You think through, what do I got in my pockets? What do I got in my wallet? Etc., etc. They came up and then averaged them all out. Now, this was in a small town of Winder, Georgia, not noted for millionaires or anything. The average, I think, was something like $700 on each adult there. Do you realize that that is twice the annual income of the Nigerians? I just looked that up today. They only make about $300 a year. The incredible blessings, just materially, that God has given us. Just that you walked in the door with this morning. I mean, just take one thing. Let's just take a shirt. I'd be cold in here without this shirt this morning. But not only does it keep me warm, it's also aesthetically nice. It's got a color to it. It's not just some gray old thing. But not just that, it's also clean, because we have a washing machine. It's hooked up to electricity and water, and you put soap in it. If you don't put soap in it, it doesn't get very clean. If you've ever tried to wash without water, that's kind of a mess too. You just have soap all over it. It also fits me. It could be three sizes too big. Well, that'd be hard. But it could be three sizes too small. I wouldn't even be buttoned here. I'd be embarrassed. So not only is it comfortable and helpful to me, but it's also looks good. Now that's just one thing of what I'm wearing. We could go through everything that we've got. We could be here all day long. Now it may think that's kind of boring, but there's a lot of things that we don't think about that God has given us. They're gifts. I mean, where else did you get it? You think the devil's going to give you that? Materially. There are a number of people that went to some meetings last weekend that felt like you were tremendously blessed. Could be through the singing, could be through prayer, could be that God just spoke to your heart. Just maybe this past week has been some special new things for you spiritually. How about your country? What a blessing to live in a free country. We kind of forget that sometimes, that it doesn't even occur to us that some policeman would come barging through the door this morning and say, "I found you. Everybody out. The trucks are waiting to haul you off." A free country. Your family. Well, maybe there are a couple of family members. You wonder how you got in that family with them if God is so loving. But there are probably some family members that at one time or another have come through for you. They care about you. They think about you. They love you. You love them. Friends. Maybe you feel like you haven't had buckets of friends, but there have been some special people in your life. That comes from God. How about the creation? You just walk outside. Even if you were blind, you just breathe it in. The beauty of springtime. Do you know that God is a God of revival? In the creation, He does it every single year. That's what we call springtime. It looks like everything died. And then once again, life bursts forth. God is a God of revival. That's a gift of God. How about your education? Look at all these books we got around here. If you couldn't read, what good would that book do you? Just be kindling or something, or a paperweight. So many, I think it's over half the world, can't read. What a blessing we have of the education. Where did that come from? It came from God. The Bible says every good gift bestowed and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. God is the source of those good gifts. Our lives are filled with His gifts. We're going to just enjoy one of them right now. Take a deep breath. Wasn't that nice? How many of those does He give you every day? I know every once in a while you're riding behind that bus or that old truck, you think, why did they let this guy ride on the road? But it's the exception, not the rule. Come to Buenos Aires if you want to see some real thick air. Look around you. Look at all the colors you can see. Richard Wurmbrand, I've got a book I'm going to read an excerpt in a minute. He only saw the color gray for 10 years. The gift of color, the gift of sight, the gift of being able to hear. All these good gifts. Our lives are filled with gifts, but there are problems with gifts. And I want to talk about some of those problems. I'm sure most of you have lived long enough to see someone cry at their own birthday party. Normally it's not a grown-up. Grown-ups just cry on the inside usually, or in the privacy of their own home and just their families around to hear. But surely you've seen that 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. It's their day. There's a cake. Their favorite kind. Their friends are there. Their family. All their favorite people have been invited. The house is decorated. It never looked so good. You even picked up the living room. You even vacuumed it that day just for them. There are gifts that have been bought. The parents labored thinking, what would they like? What don't they have yet? The friends, parents have been thinking, what can we get for this kid? What does a 4-year-old want? What do they need? Well, we don't want to know what they need because they wouldn't want that. They get that anyway. What would they like? It's their day. Everything is great. What is this kid crying for? Maybe it's because they didn't get just what they wanted to. Maybe it's because somebody else wants to play with what they have and mama's thinking, well, you need to learn how to share. Who knows? But it's one of the oddest things I've ever seen to see somebody crying at their birthday party. There are sometimes problems with gifts. In fact, when we have birthday parties, we realize it's a real trial for that poor child. And so we'll talk to them ahead of time just to kind of get them ready to go through this. And this is going to be a big temptation to just think about yourself and just get wrapped up in your gifts and your pleasures. And you could be miserable if you don't watch out. Isn't that strange? I want to talk about three problems with gifts. The first problem is in the area of gratitude. There are different ways you can respond to a gift. For me? Oh, you shouldn't have. And look at how beautifully it's wrapped. There's another way to respond to a gift. That's a dinky little gift. Doesn't weigh anything. Why did it take you so long to get it for me? Probably break as soon as I start playing with it. It's probably something I don't even need. Where are the other 10 gifts? I asked for a bicycle. What'd you get me, a miniature one? There are different ways to respond to a gift. Same gift, different response. I was almost moved to tears as I heard secondhand the story of Kendall, who visited us a couple of weeks ago, and heard that his uncle had died, and Sandy and Kevin bought him a little card of condolence, and they gave it to him just to say they were sorry that his uncle died. You can get the true. I've got it secondhand, so I might get some of the words mixed up, but I think I caught the spirit of it. They gave him this card, and he said, "For me? You bought this card for me? You didn't need to do that. It was just a little card." What's our attitude toward God's gifts? If we passed out paper now and we began to write it all down, write down every breath of air, write down every mother's kiss, write down every time somebody stopped to help you, write down everything every teacher ever taught you and helped you with, write down all the times people helped you get to know God better, write down every page of your Bible, write down every answers to prayer, you would be here forever and ever. Just trying to write down one time the gifts God has given you. Is our attitude, "But Lord, the glass is half full"? Or is it, "Oh God, why did you put anything in my glass? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." Do you realize one of the signs of fallen man is ungratefulness? Romans chapter 1. When it says, "The wrath of God is revealed against, not men, but against the ungodliness of man." And he says in verse 20, Romans 1, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." God has just poured it out in the creation, all the gifts of himself and what he has made. And he's given it to us. Who else was it for? Verse 21, "For even though they knew God," two things, "they did not honor him as God or give thanks." You think, well, that's such a little thing. No, giving thanks is a big thing. It's a big thing. Have you ever thought of the gifts that God gave, that Jesus gave to Judas? We learn in Matthew that before he ever went to the Last Supper, Judas already had the 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. At the Last Supper, Jesus knew that Judas had already betrayed him, and it was just a matter of it finally coming to pass. But the money was already in his pocket. At the Last Supper, Jesus could have let him have it. He could have embarrassed him. But what did he do? Do you realize he sat Judas in the place of honor? Do you realize he washed Judas's feet? Do you realize he covered Judas's sin? God is a giving God. And not, he doesn't give to you because you're perfect or because you never suffer defeat or even if you feel like you betrayed him. He keeps on giving. Our hearts need to be overflowing with gratitude toward him. That's the first problem, just not responding in gratitude. Second problem with gifts is we say, "Well, that's a nice little gift, but you don't know the pain in my life. You don't know the things I've been through. You don't know the people that have been mean to me, that have abused me, that have yelled at me. The people that maybe didn't do anything evil to me, but I was expecting from them to help me. They didn't help me. They were a bad example for me. How do you expect me to get excited about what God has given me when you look at the things in my life that He has allowed, that pain? The defeat. Think, well, I can't get excited about His gifts because I've been a Judas. I've been a Peter who denied Him. That's why I go around with a long face. Yeah, I know God's given me gifts, but if anything, they make me feel worse. He's been so generous with me. Do you realize that pain was never God's plan? When God designed the universe, He didn't say, well, I'm going to put in some nice big pain for their lives. And then dig it in even further by saying, you ought to give me thanks for that pain. Pain was never His original plan. Neither was death. Neither was sickness. Do you know how pain entered the world? It was by the misuse of God's gifts. That wasn't God's gift. It was the misuse of that gift. Don't blame Him. He didn't cause pain to come into the world. He allows it to happen now because man chose that direction of sin, and that has its consequences. But remember also that God, who did not cause that original pain, He went an infinite distance and He paid an infinite price to overcome the effects of that sin and that pain, to right a wrong that He did not commit. Don't get angry at Him for that pain. He has done everything to, as soon as possible, to wipe away every tear. But let's get back to His gifts now. Don't be distracted by the pain to think that God is not good to you. The third thing I want to talk about, problem, we've talked about the lack of gratitude, the problem of being distracted by our pain or our defeat. I want to share with you something about quiet time, from my quiet time, about God's gifts. And it's the idea of being distracted by the gift instead of being distracted by the giver. See, there's always something behind every gift. It's the one who gave it. How can you have a gift without a giver? I've never read this to anybody, I think, except for Wendy. So let me just share it with you for the first time today. This was 3 years ago. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. God gives good gifts. He is loving and generous. He asks of me to take them, to use them, to enjoy them, but at the same time to love Him, to cling to Him, to long for more of Him. When I give my wife, Wendy, a gift of flowers or candy, I'm expressing something. I'm expressing my love. But what if she complains that I didn't give her more than I gave her? If she clings to the blossom long after it has withered? Or if she daydreams of memorable chocolates? How sad that would make me. I was wanting to cultivate and celebrate our relationship, but she missed the point and became a slave of my gifts. The neat thing is that the giver is always greater than his gifts, at least in God's case. If you like what He has given, you'll love Him ever so much better. As the one in love glances at the flowers or the gift, but gazes at the face. So we are to appreciate God's bounty, but not let it be a barrier between us and Him. He is our treasure. He is the greatest gift. Do you have Him today? Then you need nothing else for a fabulous day. Or have you made for yourself a gilded prison of His good gifts, wrapping and binding yourself up with how you feel, what you want, what you have, and what you could lose? Take a good brief look at the bounty of God today, and then dive into the ocean of His presence and love. That's really living. All gifts fade, but the giver remains forever. Thank Him for His gifts. Revel in it. But then turn away from them in your heart to say, God, you're the greatest gift of all. What's the purpose of the gifts that he gives us? We've talked about the abundance of his gifts in our lives. We've talked about the problems that can come in the way we respond to his gifts. But why does he give them in the first place? What's the purpose of these gifts? Who has gotten a gift and didn't ever want to open it? Who just leave it sitting there? And they say, but don't you want to open your present? Nah. Well, don't you want to know what's inside it? I don't care. There's that curiosity. Wonder what it is. Close your eyes and I'm going to tell you what's in it. A kiss. I promise, I did put a kiss in there before I wrapped it. I felt kind of funny doing it, but... God's gifts are his way of kissing us. I think that's the main thing conclusion I've come to. Also in the area of miracles. Anything that you think is a miracle. Maybe you needed some money to pay some bills and you prayed and God incredibly brought it in. It could be that your child was ill and you prayed and whatever it was went away before you ever got to the doctor. Of course, that sometimes happens anyway. They say they have a stomach ache and you show up and they're all well. But it could be that you know something more spectacular than that. There are many different size gifts, many different size miracles. What good is a kiss? You ever thought about that? It is fat-free. It's weightless. It's tasteless. It's momentary. Some are longer than others, but nevertheless, they have a beginning and an end. You can't live off of kisses. You come to a man who's on his last day before he dies of starvation, and he wants more than a kiss from you. He needs to eat something. You can't live on kisses. Kisses can be faked. Surely you've gotten a kiss sometime. Well, give him a kiss. Night, sweetheart. It was just kind of a period on the end of it. Just let's move on to other things. What good is a kiss? A kiss is an expression, or can be, of love. But whenever God kisses us, he's trying to tell us, I love you so much. I love you in very intangible ways. Intangible ways. You think of all the gifts that God has given you. And it wasn't just because it's his job, so of course he's going to give me all these things. It's not because you deserve it, and so, well, where's the rest of it, Lord? It's for me? You did this for me? Don't you remember, Lord? I'm the one that put the nail through your hand. I'm the one with the 30 pieces of silver in my pocket. For me? And God says, I want you to know, no matter whatever happens, I love you with a love that can never die. Yes, you can distance yourself from me. Yes, you can run away. And yes, you can cry at your birthday party. None of that ever changes my love for you. There is a thrill in intimacy with God. When I was engaged to Wendy and also the weeks before that, and I would be bounding over to her apartment to see her again, my heart was just racing. My mind was racing. I was racing. I was just glad to go over and see her. Just to see her face, just to hear her voice. And it's still a thrill. I remember the day when my first son started to speak. And I was coming in from my quiet time back in Costa Rica. I would go outside and just to keep from waking the family up and have a little time reading. And I was coming in, getting close to the house. And I heard Walt. He was standing at the top of the stairs with nothing on but his diaper, sleep in his eyes, and yelling at the top of his lungs, about the only word he could say, Daddy! Man, my heart went into a puddle. I raced in the house to find that one that's calling out my name. One of the few things he could say, it melted my heart. The thrill of intimacy. He didn't have anything in his hands to give me. He just had a kiss waiting for me. When I went over to visit Wendy, she didn't have a present wrapped waiting for me. She was just going to give me a hug and say hi. Now, I've had other encounters. I was just 2 days ago, I was in the highway department. I had an encounter with the government. We stood in line. It was hot. We were waiting to get Frank his driver's license, and that didn't work out. You know, for a lot of people, their relationship with God is that way. Well, let's go to church again. Are you looking forward to this? Are you kidding? No, but I'll feel bad if I don't go. They'll call me up and say, where were you? So I guess I better show up. And that's the kind of face you walk in with. I mean, how can you walk in with any other kind of a face? That's how you feel on the inside. There's not the thrill of intimacy with God and with His people. God wants to give you that gift. Don't miss it. Count von Zinzendorf of the Moravians, hundreds of years ago, he was a wealthy man, but he gave it all up for God. And he says, I have but one passion. It is Him and Him alone. What is your passion today? God wants to be everything to you. Yes, He wants to give you a lot of good gifts. But just to convince you of who He is, of what He thinks about you and how He cares for you. Well, let's bring it to a close now. What's your situation today? Perhaps you realize you don't really even know Him. Yeah, you've been to church some. Maybe you own a Bible that was a nice dust catcher there on your bookshelf or something someone gave you a long time ago. Jesus said in John chapter 4 to the Samaritan woman, if you knew, if you had any idea of the gift of God, you would have asked Him. And He would give you living water. You would never thirst again in your soul. And she said, that sounds great. Do you know the gift of God today? What does it take to get it? To ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive your sin, to become not just the big God in the sky, but to become your Heavenly Father who cares for you. If you don't know Him today, I encourage you to do business with Him today in your heart, to ask Him in. At the end of the service, I think Jim's going to invite any who want to come forward for special prayer to come forward. Nobody needs to come forward, but there's some times when you just feel like it would be an encouragement to me if somebody would pray for me. So in any of the things I mentioned, if in any of those things you would like another believer to pray with you, there's going to be an opportunity at the end of the service. Others of you, you'd just be distracted if you came and had somebody else pray for you. And you really need to just sit there quietly and think about the things that God is speaking in your heart. But there's going to be that opportunity when we finish. Perhaps you're a young Christian. And you've had this idea, you just come to know the Lord and you think, man, this is incredible, the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to get down the road and you're going to realize there are also giants that like milk and honey that live in that same land. There are going to be problems that you weren't anticipating. You thought, well, I thought everything was going to be easy now. And you realize it's not necessarily that big. It's not necessarily going to be that way. What happened to Judas who betrayed Jesus? Do you realize Judas was kind of a young Christian? He had certain expectations of what the Christian life was going to be like. Jesus didn't meet up to those expectations. Things turned out a little differently than what he'd expected. And he turned away from God. I hope you won't turn away from God. I wanted to read you briefly the story of a very young Christian in the Soviet Union, in the underground church. The communist police discovered that she secretly spread gospels and taught children about Christ. They decided to arrest her, but to make the arrest more agonizing and painful, they decided to delay her arrest a few weeks until the day she was to be married. On her wedding day, the girl was dressed as a bride. The most wonderful, joyous day in a girl's life. Suddenly, the door was pushed open, and the secret police rushed in. When the bride saw the secret police, she held out her arms toward them to be handcuffed. They roughly put the manacles on her wrists. She looked toward her beloved, then kissed the chains, and said, I thank my heavenly bridegroom for this jewel he has presented to me on my marriage day. I thank him that I am worthy to suffer for him. She was dragged off with weeping Christians and a weeping bridegroom left behind. They knew what happens to young Christian girls in the hands of communist guards. After 5 years, she was released, a destroyed, broken woman looking 30 years older. Her bridegroom had waited for her. She said it was the least she could do for her Christ. Such beautiful Christians are in the underground church. I don't know what Jesus is going to ask of you if you're a young Christian or an older Christian, but it's a privilege to serve Him. It could be that you're a stale Christian. You're like that bread that's just gotten kind of hard and maybe even moldy sitting out there in the Lord's pantry. Maybe you're disappointed with yourself. Maybe you're disappointed with God. Maybe you just feel defeated. But whatever it is, you know that the term abundant life is not your experience. I want to tell you this morning, God has more for you. Jesus came into the cemetery where Lazarus had died, and He told the grieving sister, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" God is doing incredible things all through this land, all through the world. It is your time also for God to renew you, to bring springtime into your heart, to bring the glory of God. He wants to put that thrill of intimacy back in your walk with Him. And you want to be praying, "God, make the next 12 months of my life the most incredible 12 months of my entire Christian life for your glory." And fourthly, when I talked about gifts today, you just totally related that. "Praise the Lord," was what your heart was saying. "Bless the Lord of my soul. I just feel like I'm about to pop. So many good things going on in my life and spiritual blessings, and you don't know all the good things that happened to me this week." There's something for you today also in this message. God is blessing. But don't become like the Dead Sea that has everything coming into it and nothing flowing out of it. It will wither in your hands if you do that. You must be giving. Freely you have received. Freely you must give. If God has greatly blessed you, be in a hurry to bless others. It could be that the Lord will use you in the prison ministry. It's in the bulletin. We didn't get a chance to say it today, but there's an opportunity to get involved in going and blessing some of the guys out there. It could be that the Lord is going to use you instead in prayer and intercession, maybe coming to early morning meetings at the church or in your own quiet time. God's going to give you a special ministry of intercession. It could be in visitation. That's really on your heart. It could be in visiting in the old folks' home. It could be in a special ministry to children. But listen to me. I want you to remember something. This is not just a call to get busy. People don't need you. They need Jesus. There are a lot of people that get out there and get busy, but it's just them. People need the Lord. How does the Lord get to them? Through people. You need to be a channel of His life. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to close with a short prayer and then have Jim come up to lead us in the last hymn and explain what we might do at the end to have a word of prayer. Why don't you just stand up in the presence of the Lord? Let's thank Him together for our gifts. I'm going to give you just a moment of just real silence, just to think one more time about the things He has given you. Just thank Him for about five things real quietly right now, and then I'll pray. Giver of good gifts, we love You. You're the best gift of all. We're sitting on a mountain of Your presence, but we think, who could it be that gave us all these things? How great a heart, how great a love. Lord, deliver us from ingratitude. Deliver us from being distracted by our pain. Deliver us from being distracted by the gifts and just looking at them and wanting more. We want more of You. Bless us today, Lord, with a greater sense of Your presence, a greater revival in our heart of the thrill of being intimate with You. We want to fall in love with You all over again. And we want our heart to just skip a beat when we know You're near. We love You, Lord, and we bless You today in Jesus' name. Amen.